But this morning we had a really great question asked to me the other day, and it is a business but personal question. So I thought it would be better suited for our morning date lives versus our Tuesday Q&As. So for you guys that don't know, every Tuesday at noon Eastern, we do live Q&As, and it's all around business bottlenecks, how I grew my cleaning company, a little bit of how I grew the software. But on our Saturday morning date lives, it's more about us and how we work together, how we manage the business and life and marriage, how we manage our kids. So I texted you the question. Do you want to read the question so that we can get started? It's in a picture. It may not be that one. It's the next picture. There you go. And as he's reading the question, if you guys have other questions, always feel free to put them in the chat, in the comments. We always collect the questions, and eventually, if we can't answer them live, we will always come back and answer them somehow, some way.
In
We
some,
answer everybody's questions.
So the question was, Libby, what has been your biggest takeaways from all the coaching, implementation, everything you've gone through to develop your business to where they are today?
Yeah, and I love this question because I don't think the answer is what everyone thinks the answer is.
I'm honestly, I have not heard the answer yet, so I'm curious to hear.
Well, give me your phone back because I already have my answer in here, and I wanted to make sure that I hit, and it was 3 points to what was my biggest takeaway of everything I've learned. So again, I've had great mentors over the years, and I've had everything from industry specific to a cleaning mentor to software specific, which was SaaS Academy, which was home service specific, right? Which was Jonathan Potashnick. And then I've also had some one-on-one mentors and coaches. I've been in various programs. The one thing I can say is that I didn't spare much expense at all when I dropped money for something. And I think right now information is so easy to access that everyone's rethinking how they're learning. So I do think that's a new evolution of like coaching and programs is where everyone's rethinking how you learn. And it's more now about accountability and execution than it is learning. But I want to go back to my what are my biggest takeaways? And they're not what you think they are. So I had three big takeaways of everything I've learned. And I mean, the most I've ever paid to be in a program was 80K a year. And it was the most phenomenal program coaching, mentoring I've ever had in my life. Life changing. And it should be life changing for 80K a year, right, Chris? Chris was involved because they had a version of it for like your leadership. And then they also had a segment for just owners. But my three biggest takeaways of everything I've ever learned across every mentor and every program, every coach, you name it. One was to take care of my health and my marriage first. Oh, no, I'm sorry. To take care of my marriage first. To take care of my marriage first. And because you can't do this alone, it is extremely hard to be a business owner. So you have to take care of your marriage because you need support. You need help. Not even help like Chris, there's so much I do that he has no idea about. But you need someone to support you, to be the cheerleader, to understand when you've had a long day or you're tired, and they don't necessarily need, oh, thank you. They don't necessarily need you to do something for them. You just need them to be there for you and to understand. But on the other side, like when Chris first started, and we can get in more in depth with each one, but I want to read each one and then we'll get into depth with them. So the first one was to take care of my marriage first, right? That was one of the most impactful pieces of advice I ever got. And if you have a coach or a mentor that isn't talking about this, you should probably question that coach or mentor. My second one was my health. If I'm unhealthy, I cannot run fast. You can't. I might get to my goal, but at 200 pounds, I'm going to get to that goal much slower. And the heaviest I ever got was 210 pounds. Why? I'm not physically and mentally healthy, so I cannot perform at my optimal level. I can't. You just can't.
Yeah.
And then people get pissed of like, why can, oh my God, like, how did they get there so fast? How can they do so much? Actually, I'd question, look at their health versus your health. That was where I got in my life when I got to my heaviest. And the third one was to actually find what your true passion is and being able to communicate it to extremely clear was one of my biggest takeaways as well. Because at the end of the day, business was business. But if I don't know why everyone is doing what we're doing, we're not just cleaning a house. Like, let's be honest. We're doing more. What is the vision? What is my passion for why we're doing what we're doing? And then how do I communicate it down to like an Elon Musk style of communication?
With extreme clarity.
Extreme clarity. Those were the three. It was taking care of my marriage first, taking care of my health, and then being able to figure out what that vision actually is and to communicate it. Communicate it openly, freely, not be ashamed of it, not hide it. Those were my three biggest takeaways in all of the mentoring and coaching that I ever got. When it came to what really transformed what you like, not just our businesses, but our lives. So, and I, you know, for us, it didn't just affect me. I brought Chris along. So Let's start like with number one, Dan Martell and Jonathan Potashnick, by far, hands down. And when I always talk about Dan, I had a different version of Dan that everybody else knows. So I just want to be clear because somebody's like, oh, I saw you were in his program. I'm thinking about signing up for his program. He does not even offer the program that I was in. I paid $80,000 for it. I was in it for 4 or 5 years. If you're paying $10,000, that's not the same thing. I literally got to sit in a room with him 4 times a year and on coach, like, what would we call it? Mid sessions 4 times a year because they were in between each quarter. It's not the same. It's a different version of who he is today. So
different version you have access to.
That you have access to. So Dan and Jonathan Potashnick by far were my mentors that taught me that your marriage comes first, even before your business, your marriage comes first. If you guys don't know who Jonathan Potashnick is, amazing guy. God, I loved his program. It was phenomenal. It was a lawn care program. And yes, I was the only house cleaner in it. it was a lawn care program, but I loved his mentoring. It was phenomenal. He owned City Turf, which is a very large landscaping company. Yeah. And he also used to own Service Autopilot. But Jonathan really coached and taught about it, but I didn't really take it seriously until I heard, and it was funny because Dan Martell was Jonathan Potosnik's coach.
Yeah.
And then so when you sign up for these coaches and you're like, oh my God, they're like very similar in their message. Well, one is a spawn of another.
Right.
And so then when I got into Dan's group, I was like, man, that's the same stuff Jonathan was saying. and Jonathan was in Dan's group because of software.
Yeah.
Right. And he owns Service Autopilot. And it was really interesting. And it was just, I started to hear the same message. And, you know, Dan would always say something is like, if you think running a business is expensive, try getting a divorce. And we all know that running a business is hard and extremely lonely and extremely like just, it's a struggle. And especially if you own a home service business like cleaning, I'm not going to lie, we have one of the hardest businesses to run. We do. And I want anyone to argue with me. We have low entry points, right, for employees. We have high turnover. We have dispatching and scheduling, and we're low job ticket per job, right? We're not doing like a $10,000 air conditioning install. Mm-hmm. So we have more people management if we want that higher revenue goal. And so when I started to hear some of the same things repeated that Jonathan was always talking about, then Dan was saying the same thing. And, you know, I started to really think about them. And then, we brought Chris into Woot Recruit.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where it really started to be really, really get really more serious.
Yeah. I'll say serious is a good word to start with. It didn't get better. It got more serious. Because I'll be straight up with you. When I first came in, I was immature when it came to business, when it came to relationships, when it came to marriage. I genuinely say that I was immature when I first started in the business, which was software. Woot Recruit. I got fired. That was the point to where I had already been fired 6 times from Organize It. now getting hired again for this other thing. And the first words coming out of your mouth of me starting is saying, you're going to be in charge of him, saying this to Paul.
Yeah, because we had a partner in Woot Recruit, right? We had Paul was our partner. And Paul was like, man, let's bring Chris in. He's great. Like, and I'm like, nope, I don't want to do it. I've done this in my past. I worked with a spouse and it was horrible. I don't want to ruin this second relationship, right?
Yeah.
And Paul dropped it and then he brought it back up again a few months later. And so then I was like, fine. Like, but if we hire him, you're managing him.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And so that was my first experience. That was my entry point into working couples in a way that actually was there and intimate.
Yeah, because your parents didn't ever see that growing up, right?
No. And so I say, what was the word you used? You said that it was, what was it? It was very serious.
I said it was very serious.
Serious.
I started to take it seriously.
Yeah.
Was when I had heard Jonathan always talk about it and really focus on it. When I was in Jonathan's group, one of the greatest things was he invited us into his home.
Yeah.
We get to go to his house, hang out, meet his wife and his dogs, right? And his kids. And he was a very open book. And then hearing Dan talk about it, I was like, man, there must be something to this. Mm-hmm. There must be something to this. Maybe I should listen. And we started to bring Chris in at the same time. And I will say I'm still not easy to work with, but I was not as easy to work with when we first started working together.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot, but it definitely was not easy. But I started to take it seriously because you cannot have a business. I do not care who you are. You don't know how many people that come up to us. So we used to be way more consistent at the morning dates. Uh-huh. We used to do them every Saturday. And life kind of got in the way.
When we say morning dates, what we mean is the morning date podcast, the recordings,
the lives.
We still do the morning dates.
Every day we walk 3 miles every day together. No questions asked. We did it today in the rain. It's raining in Florida. We did it in the rain. But we started to do it. We were doing it every day. And we've fell off the wagon doing it every day because, well, life. We have kids and teenagers and we're remodeling a building and traveling and... And you would be surprised though how many people have come up to us just saying, oh my God, I love you sharing. Like, hey, how do you get your spouse? How do you get your wife on board? Like, how do you get them involved? I'm struggling. They don't understand. And the one thing I have to say, and I've even had coaches come up to me and say, hey, Libby, I'm having a problem in my marriage. How do I get them to understand? Or how do I get them involved in, not to understand, but how I get them involved. And the one thing I want to tell everybody is your spouse is involved, whether they're part of the business or not, they are involved. They are. Because the stress you carry, the anxiety, the bad days, the good days, you bring that home and they're involved, whether they want to be involved or not, whether you think they're involved or not, they're involved.
Yeah. And just because they're not physically submitting payroll.
Or they're not on payroll.
They're not on payroll.
How many spouses right now are like, how many companies here that their spouse is involved, but they're not on payroll, right? Because Chris was involved for the longest time and he wasn't on payroll because he would help me do a little of this or do that. Or can you go check on this? Or can you take some supplies to a technician?
Yeah, no. And so, yeah. And that's what I mean is regardless of how involved or not they were or are, because I know a lot of business owners right now in cleaning companies that their spouses, their husbands really are weekend warriors, meaning that they have full-time careers working for the government. And then on the weekends, they're over there schlepping rags, washing them, updating SOPs or
remodeling offices.
Yeah. Or remodeling offices.
That's Jen's husband, Jen Rogers, right? He's got a full-time job and he's out fixing up the office on the weekends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's the other ones that I'll be honest with you is, there's, and I'm speaking mainly for the men, for the women who, again, the wives, there's other men who they're involved because they're offloading that stress from you. They're cooking, they're doing other things around the house. That's still involved because that's the psychological safety around the chaos that you bring in.
Yeah. And so that was like one of my biggest number one takeaways and everything I've learned. You could have the best company in the world. You could have the best systems. Like you could be making a couple $1 million in revenue and none of it matters if your marriage is falling apart. None of it matters. You can't even get there if you don't even have the support and none of it matters. And so one of my biggest tips for everybody here who is married or has a partner, husband, wife, right? Spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, is for us, you were in for a long time.
Yeah.
And Dan really taught us a lot of stuff, right, about marriage and working together in that transparency. But what really took it off for us was we did the quarterly couples meetings.
Oh, my God.
And Chris was like, when I said, hey, I booked a hotel, dropping off Yaya at my mom's, I booked us a hotel room in Dallas to go have a meeting. And he's like, what is she up to now? Like, God, she has another crazy idea.
That's so woo-woo.
And we, for 2 days, right, that first time we did it, all we did was clear the air, right? What is the issues going on? Clear the air. And then also, what do we each want? And we worked on that separately. I can't influence what he wants, and he can't influence what I want. You know what I mean by what we want is, what do we want from our life and our marriage? Forget the business. What do we want? Do we want to go on 5 vacations a year, or do we want to go on 2? Do we want to take our kids camping, or like, do we want to drive across the country? Do we want to work till 3 o'clock every day, or are we good working till 10 o'clock every day, PM? And so it's like, what do we want out of life? Like, what did we want out of our marriage? Because we have to have some alignment. But if you do it together, mm-hmm. you influence each other. And so we did go together on this thing, on this like 2-day couples retreat that I held with just me and him, but I made us work on the stuff independently.
Yes.
And then once we worked on it, then we brought it together and said, okay, now I know what Chris wants. He knows what I want. Now, how do we commingle this and create a family plan?
Yeah. So what was great about that experience and learning, now we've adapted it and you have a framework with Couples Quarterly, but bringing it together, my God, where things polar opposite from visions, what you want, and where you're headed.
And remember when you first made yours, you wanted to own a business.
Yeah. Oh no. Mine was full of BS. Totally.
And I didn't say anything to him.
No.
Like, he wanted to own a business. I was like, oh, okay, great. Like, that's fine. And there was a part of me that knew he could do it because he's smart enough. But there's a part of me that knew also he didn't want the stress of it, because I saw how the stress of business affected him. And there are some things, like today, as close as me and Chris are, that he's not involved in. Mm-hmm. I talk to the attorneys. I talk to the CPAs. I talk to the bookkeepers, right? I handle certain things that he doesn't deal with because it's just not in his wheelhouse. It's exhausting for him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, he does stuff that I don't have anything to do with. And so when we first wrote them, they've changed over the time, right? Remember, you wanted mm-hmm. to own a business. You wanted to do a few things. I too wanted a few things, and they've changed over the years and said, oh, at first, you know, I think we were writing it based off what we thought we wanted.
Yeah. Because I, at that point, going through that very first time, and this is again, when you started to really nail down, really dig into the one layer deep of what do you really want? Cut the BS.
Oh, I like this statement. Hold on.
Yeah.
I can't read from here. I've never actually taken the time to meet with myself to take stock of what I want. The concept works whether you're solo or you're married. 100%. So one of the reasons why me and Paul broke up, like, we owned Woot Recruit together and we parted ways, it was very amicably. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Amicably. We found that our visions didn't align. We both wanted the end goal, but how we wanted to get there were different, and that's okay. But to your comment about never taking the time to sit down and do this with yourself is actually one of the things Dominique Williams is going to teach, setting the vision and expectations. And we're going to create the AI tool to help you set the vision. And one of the things I have to share with you guys is, when I set the vision for Woot Recruit, for the business, for the software business, Paul went out and set his vision, and our COO brought them back to see, could we still work together? And that's when we all decided, no, our visions were different. But when my COO, Jim, sent me away to make my vision, I had a whole exercise of how do I make this vision? And it took me, Paul was fast. He got it back to Jim in like 30 minutes.
I gotta say, to Paul's defense,
yeah, I was like,
he's a guy.
Dude, I'm like, dang, he was fast.
Yeah.
Do you know how long it took me to be with myself, to the people who just said, I've never done that? 3 weeks. I took 3 weeks. I sat in bed every night. Chris was with me. He didn't be involved. He didn't help me. He wasn't involved, but he was next to me. I watched certain videos. I read a couple books. I sat outside. So if you really, really want to work on that true vision that you have, I recommend you do it outside. Something about the fresh air, nature, the sound, and the lack of distractions. And I did it. It took me 3 weeks to do it. And I cried. I was happy. I was mad. I was sad. I was disappointed. Like all of the emotions I went through of trying to figure out what did I want. And for the love of God, I don't know if it's a me thing or a woman thing or what it is, but I have the hardest time articulating in words, writing it down, what I actually want. And that's why it took me 3 weeks and it took Paul 30 minutes. When he got it back to Jim, I was like, God damn it. Like that was fast. And I was like, but I want to do this right. And, you know, I sought out other mentors and asked them some questions. And I just really did a lot of reflecting of what do I like now? What do I not like now? What do I want personally? Because your vision has a lot to do with your personal life. And it took me 3 weeks. And it was funny because when we brought them back together, we found that where we wanted to end was the exact same place. We wanted a great company with great profit, with a great culture, right? And our revenue goals were about the same. Mm-hmm. But the journey of how we each wanted to get there was completely different. And that's what didn't align. And so you have to think, and that was just a business partner. And so you have to think about this. How does this happen in my marriage? Not even with my business, but with my life, with my marriage, with my children. If we're both on a journey and we're going two different ways, we wonder why it doesn't work out. We're just two different, same end goal. You want a great marriage, right? You want to grow old together. But if the journey of how you get there is like going two separate paths, that's why you could feel some resistance. And so I took the same exercise that I went through to create my vision for Woot Recruit. And I did that same vision for Organize It. And I did it for all the other businesses and products that we have over the years. And I did it with me and Chris saying, well, we should set the vision for our life. Because I felt like we were starting to go in two different directions.
Starting to drift.
We were starting to drift. And that was probably one of the best exercises that we ever did was we started to do that exercise to set the vision independently for each other. And then we bring them together and say, how does this work as a family for a life?
Yeah.
Right? Even if you don't have kids, you can still do it. Even if you're single, you can still do it. I honestly don't think business owners, especially small business owners, especially cleaning business owners, because I know them very well because I am one, we do not take enough time alone to plan or strategize. I feel like we spend a tremendous amount of time. I mean, a gross amount of time, an ugly amount of time learning and paying to learn. But we do not spend enough time planning with ourselves and strategizing with ourselves and executing, right? We've learned how to pay and we've learned how to seek information, but we have not learned how to sit in a room by ourselves with our own thoughts and write down our visions. And then we have not learned how to execute those. And that's why I get a little passionate about this topic is for me, when I learned how to do that, it changed so much about my marriage, my business, my health, all of it, all of it. Because you can stop lying to yourself or just stop drifting around like you're lost.
Yeah. And that takes me back to when I was going through the exercise of bringing back the visions is it's never the first vision, never the first thing that you write down.
It's never the first ideation, right?
No. Iteration.
Iteration. And ideation.
I was an idiot. Yes.
So, Jude, I cannot. The English language is, maybe it's because I grew up a little bilingual. I don't know. I get confused.
But the first iteration, it wasn't who I was. It was who I, again, this is something that I broke down for myself. And it was my self-sabotage. We also went through that exercise.
That's part of our vision setting exercise is the self-sabotage exercise.
Is that I was obsessed of what I thought other people thought of me. It wasn't what other people thought of me, because that's different.
Yeah.
But it's what I thought other people thought about me, which is it's a double negative. It doesn't exist. It's all in my head. And so where I'm getting at here is my first iteration of my vision was I want to have not just one, I think it was like two businesses. I want to have written a book. I wanted to whatever. I was throwing stuff out there.
I love it. But I'm like, it's funny because I felt bad because I felt like when I first read it, I was like, my God, is Chris trying to keep up? Does Chris think that I think I need him to keep up with me? And it almost made me feel bad or guilty saying, I don't need you to try to keep up with me.
You said that a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it still didn't sink in until there was a breaking point for me. But I had to hear that repeatedly, not just the same day, but over the course of days and weeks, I had to hear that repeatedly.
When I read it, I knew that wasn't him. So that's kind of what, I'll be honest. Well, there's a lot of things that ruined my first marriage/relationship. Chris is proud that I've only been married once, and that's to him. But my prior relationship, it was common law marriage. But that's besides all the other things that ruined it. That was one of the things that ruined it, was those were some of his last words to me, is that I didn't need him anymore and he needed someone that needed him. And so when I saw Chris's first version of like his vision, I instantly went to like that place of saying, oh my God, I think he thinks I need him to keep up with me, but I don't need him to keep up with me. I don't need him for certain things. And for men, that is not an easy pill to swallow. Like for a woman to just be fast and independent and like a little reckless. Now we can be reckless in other ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I tried to make, when I first read it, I needed to make it very clear that, hey, look, I don't need you to keep, that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my first version, like I said, is everything that I was not, but it was so hard for me to stomach. Even I was fighting inside of my head. I remember it. Because we were writing it down. And as I was writing it, there was this feeling in the pit of me that it became like hard to swallow as I wrote things down with where I wanted to be. I was forcing myself to believe it, that I wanted to own, build a company. But there was something in it, like deeply inside of me, that honestly made me a little bit queasy or...
Why could you watch me do it?
No, but like, seriously... there was something about this that just, it didn't click. Cause if it was, then I'm a very big person on breath work, on like the body sensations.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of like what you're actually thinking and experiencing is all in the way that your heart rate, your body, your breath work, it's all in what's not said.
It's the unseen.
And so I had a lot of that going on, and I was fighting with myself, where I was adamant that the first version of me is absolute truth. And I almost committed suicide to my future self by staying in the stigma of who I thought I should be, who I thought I had to keep up with. And it wasn't until you called me out over and over and over and over again.
And no, I'm not a mean person. Like when you say that you called me out and over and over again, they're like, oh, she's a bitch.
But what it was doing was it was challenging the current state of who I thought I had to be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I say things that I want to do and I'm sure in your mind, you're like, oh yeah, that's not her.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate the calling out. I appreciate the questioning or the pushback. And so for us, that was like life-changing, right? Work on your marriage first, then your business, right? And so I want to go to the next question and add one on top of that, which is you actually take care of yourself first, then your marriage, and then your business, right? And let's go to take care of yourself first. So what changed me in all of the coaching, the original question was when we started is, out of all of the coaching, all of the advice, all of the programs I've been in, what was the most valuable takeaways I had? And they were those three, right? Work on your marriage, work on your health, and work on your vision. Have that vision so clear, and you can, it can be clear as daylight, but if you don't know how to communicate it and you won't give it to your staff because you're embarrassed, then it's not clear.
Yeah.
But, so we were talking about marriage. So let's move on to our health.
Yeah.
Well, or do you want to move on to vision and health last? Because we were kind of talking about writing the vision.
Let's do vision.
Okay, so we'll move on to the vision and we'll do health last. And so working from there, when we wrote our independent visions for our future, for our life, how many vacations I want to take. I used to do all this traveling for speaking. Like I was gone one time for 21 days straight to speak on stage. And when I sat down to write my vision, I said, I'm done. That's why you don't see me speak on any stages except for my own stage. I'm done. I was tired. You know, when you sit in the airport and your plane gets canceled, you're crying because you just want to go home and sleep in your own bed. You've had enough. And I wrote that. I said, I was done. I don't want to do any more of this. Like, it's exhausting. I want to be with my kids. Yaya was little. Austin was going into his last years of high school. And I'm just done. And if I travel, I want it to be for us. And so that's why now I take a tremendous amount of vacations.
Yeah.
It was by plan. It wasn't by accident. It was written into my personal vision that we incorporated into the family. And so where I take it from here is now you go in and you set the vision for your business because you now have some personal alignment on what you want personally and professionally. And then now you know how much room or space or energy you have to give to the business.
Yeah.
Because essentially what we do is we do the business first and we completely neglect ourselves, drain ourselves, overwork ourselves, burn ourselves out. And then we wonder why we're overweight, unhealthy, don't exercise, and our marriage is falling apart. Well, you gave everything you had to the business. Mm-hmm. And the business, I'm going to tell you right now, business does not have feelings. Business is selfish. It will continue to operate and move forward. Competitors will still continue to be competitive. Business will evolve and it doesn't matter. Like I always say, the business doesn't have feelings. It doesn't matter if you're overweight. It didn't matter. It didn't care when I was pregnant. I had other businesses before my cleaning and organizing business. And it didn't matter when I was going through a separation, through a custody battle. Mm-mm. It didn't matter when I was dealing with my ex who was an alcoholic, an abusive alcoholic. Business doesn't care. It doesn't have feelings. And so what we do is we start with setting the vision for the business first. And we give the business everything we have and it will suck you dry and spit you out. And then there's nothing left for your family, your life, your kids, your health. So I started to flip it and I said, first, let's focus on me, my health, and we'll get into that next. Let me focus on my marriage because guess what? These kids grow up and move away. Then focus on the kids.
Yeah.
Even though I love our kids. So it was my health, my marriage, my kids, my business, and set those expectations. And you know exactly where you're going, what you're doing, and how much you can give to that business.
And you do it with clarity and you do it with drive and it's more intentional.
Yeah. And you can actually get more done, guys.
Yeah. You know, that's why you say business is the vehicle, not the vessel.
Yes. Yeah. We talk about in the book, it's the vehicle to get you to where we're trying to go, the long term, right? It's not the vessel. It's not where we tie our self-worth to or where we shouldn't. We shouldn't tie our self-worth to that business. But then you can set those goals because you don't know how many coaching calls I've had in the past where I'm working with a mom of two young children and maybe she's like $1.5 million, mm-hmm. right? And she's $1.5 million cleaning company. And she wants to be a $2 million cleaning company. And I've had these conversations over and over and over. And I say, okay, well, these are the things that you're going to have to do to get to 2 million. She's like, well, I don't want to do that because I have young kids. I understand that, but is that in her vision? She just set this revenue goal, but didn't take into account of how will this impact her family. And so again, she was doing it backwards. She was setting the revenue goal for the business, right? Not the goal or the vision for herself and her family. And then how much time and energy, even money, do I have to give to the business to get to the goal we want to achieve? Oh, well, if maybe I can't get to 2 million, but I can get to 1.75. Because when we do it in reverse with the business, all of a sudden we feel like a complete loser because you're like, but Libby, why can't I get to 2 million? But you just said you didn't want to do everything that you needed to do to get to the 2 million because you have young children, which I get and I understand and I respect, but she did it in the reverse. So now she feels completely defeated because all of her other friends set a $2 million goal, but she doesn't want to give the sacrifice, which I respect because she has young children. So why not be happy with a $1.5 million company or set the goal to be what you can actually achieve with the time that you have left and the energy you have left after you give your family what they need?
Yeah. It's pouring the sand into that jar.
Yeah.
Before you put the rocks.
Yep. Where we say, you know, that glass jar analogy, put the big things in, the big milestones, the vacations, the birthdays, the anniversaries in, and then pour in that sand, right? But you got to put the big things in first before you pour the sand, because the sand will just expand and take up all the room, and there's no left for anything. There's no room left for anything. Mm-hmm. So, and then all you realize is you just got really good at dealing with a whole bunch of day-to-day chaos, and you never move the needle forward.
Yeah.
Because that's all a bunch of sand.
Yep. So I love the way that the fact that you're actually touching on it right now. It's when I first experienced it with the couples quarterly and dealing with that, that's when I first started to realize or understand that concept of living by design, not by default. And the business, just the way that it fills up and expands is the default.
Yeah, 100%. Like I said, business does not have feelings. It does not care about you. It doesn't. And not to say that I love business. I love doing business, but it doesn't have feelings. Like I said, it doesn't care if you're tired, if you're sick. It doesn't care if you're going through divorce. It doesn't care if you're pregnant. It doesn't even care if you break your leg, because if you break your leg, what happens? You have to figure it out, right? Because shit's going to still keep going on and moving. You got to figure it out. It doesn't care. It does not have feelings, which is good though, because it's predictable. If it had feelings, it'd be emotional and be reactive like a person.
Yeah.
But it's so predictable because it just continues to operate, because it doesn't operate from feelings.
Yeah.
So
you might, but
yeah, no, you like business owners do, but the business does not. So let's move on to the third lesson. So the first one was work on your marriage first, right? Set that vision of for your life, your family, yourself, and then set that. So me and Chris each have our own vision. Mm-hmm. Then we have a family vision, and then each company has a vision. And then from there, setting that company vision so that you can communicate it to your employees. So we talked about how to do that. Do the couples first, the family first, then realize what you have left to pour into that company. But then once you set that company vision, be fucking proud of it. Don't park your new car around the corner because you don't want you to see your technicians to see you drive a new car. Be proud of the vision, because your vision has to be so big that everyone else's goals fit inside of that. And so be proud of it. When we first launched the Organize It vision, that I wanted to be $100 million company with like various locations all over the United States, I printed it and I gave it to the cleaning technicians. Mm-hmm. And they were so proud of it that those copies that we printed were supposed to be given back to us, and they wanted to keep them. They wanted to take them home. They wanted to show their husbands. They wanted to put it on a coffee table. They were proud that they worked for a company that had a vision so large that they felt like they couldn't outgrow it.
They felt like they were a part of that history.
Yeah. And so was it a little intimidating, or was I a little nervous? Yeah, I was a little nervous, not going to lie. Because somewhere along the way, I got put in my head that like, oh, like I need to downplay myself. I need to downplay everything. I need to downplay when I travel. Oh, I need to downplay these things. But no. Do you think if you go get a job at McDonald's or Advanced Auto Parts or Chick-fil-A that you know the owner, or that the owner isn't living an owner lifestyle?
Right.
Whatever that is, everyone's is different.
Yeah.
No, they don't. No, that doesn't even make any sense. And so I had to get that thought out of my head, and I'm glad I did. Yeah. Even our cleaning technicians follow me on social media.
Oh, yeah.
They see me sitting at the beach in Mexico sometimes.
Yeah.
But they also see me working at night when I post about like, hey, we're working all weekends.
It's also in how you share what you believe. You can live it, but it's that openness that you give. I think that really makes it connect with them.
Yeah. And I think if you were just posting a whole bunch of pictures about you flying around in a jet. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I think if you post the real storyline, or you share the real story, struggles and successes, people respect you more, especially your employees.
Yeah.
And so from setting that vision and being proud of it, it's not easy. Your self-doubt is going to kind of creep in when you print it and you share it, but you have to own it and you have to live it. And even in the vision, I wrote myself out of the company so they could read about why was I not around anymore?
Yeah.
Where is Libby? And that was written into the vision of the company. So people could understand, even your office staff could understand certain things. And then from there, my last tip was your health. And man, I could talk about this topic for like ever. We were answering the questions about what was the what were the biggest takeaways or ahas from all of the coaching and mentoring and programs that I had been in over the years? So we covered, it was marriage, vision, and health. So we've covered marriage, we've covered vision, and now we're going to health. And I love this topic because I think a lot of coaches and mentors don't touch on this at all. But the one thing I can tell you is that you can't not reach your goal. You cannot run fast if you are not operating at your prime. If you're overweight, if you're not exercising, if you're tired, you can't get there. It's really hard. It's going to come slower and be much harder to get there. Dan Martell had a great saying. What was it? Bank accounts and
Iron Man. It was belt buckles. I'm sorry.
It was Dan.
Bank account go up. Belt buckles go down.
Your belt buckle goes down. They can't. They're like.
It's inverse.
Yeah, it's inverse. Opposite. It's opposite. So when your bank account goes up, your belt buckle goes down. He says bank accounts and belt buckles, right? Try to say that three times. but it's true. My business didn't really take off, the softwares, anything until I really started to focus on my health. I think at the heaviest I got, I was about 210, 215 pounds. Yeah, I was 2 years old and I just got to the point of like, I was tired of being tired. I wasn't happy with myself. I wasn't confident with myself. And so how could you even show up as a great leader and owner if you're not even happy with yourself, if you don't even have confidence in yourself? How are you going to rally other leaders to follow you if you lack confidence in just like looking at yourself in the mirror?
Yeah.
And that's where I was at personally. This is my personal like story.
Yeah.
And so I started to get really serious about it. It was just one day, like a light switch went off in my head. And we started to kind of get serious. I actually exercised more before I got serious about my health and was overweight.
Right. you would go and take time.
Run a marathon.
Hours on the treadmill.
Marathon. And you can be a runner and still be unhealthy.
Yeah.
I ran a marathon and was still heavy and overweight and unhappy. And not till I really, really, really focused on food. Food. Mm-hmm. I had a doctor once tell me it's an 80-20 rule. It has 80% to do with you put in your mouth and 20% to do with how much you exercise. And it's right, right? I mean, I was starving myself, but then not eating the right stuff. The typical like woman complex of, oh, I got to eat a salad or I got to go on a diet. And then going like exercising or running and still not being able to lose weight until I really started to get serious about my health and figure it out. That's when, I'll be honest, everything changed. I said that with the couples quarterly, but this was truly like everything changed. My mindset, my clarity, my energy. But like the ability to handle more like stress doesn't stress me out. You don't have anxiety.
Yeah.
It like balanced your hormones. Like it changed everything about how I operate. And I found I wasn't as snippy as I used to be. Chris is like, maybe.
No. And I want to say this is maybe it's not the word snippy. But you could definitely sense and feel the frustration around the old you. Because I think it was that fog. You couldn't pin down how to express the right thing or what the right thing was. It was based around frustration.
Yeah, I also think like when your brain is full of carbs and sugar, right? It's causing that anxiety or that stress level it's putting pressure on it because of the inflammation.
Literal
stress because of the information in your brain.
Yeah.
Cutting carbs and sugar was like the best thing I've ever done in my entire life. It changed my life.
Yes.
Changed my life. Then we went a little bit more extreme and went carnivore. Well, we're like dirty carnivores.
Yeah.
We still drink coffee, like say coffee, dirty carnivores, but, really, really changed my life. And then Chris jumped on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For the same reason, just different benefits that I was seeking. I always say, my two parents died of cancer around six months apart.
They were 6 months apart.
It was a lot of insecurities around myself with the stigma of a male being very, small framed, a few different things. My gut health was horrible. I was chronically
Every
ill.
Every time we ever went on a vacation, he got sick.
I was chronically ill.
I finally said, I'm going to stop bringing you on vacation.
Yeah.
We even got sick on our honeymoon.
Yeah. And so it wasn't until I started to, like Libby said, is start to pay attention to my health. And I had different goals to seek for that. And it ended up helping out a lot more than just what I started with.
Mm-hmm. I think the analogy, so that my Ferrari analogy is like a great analogy. And we'll end with this analogy, right? And so I want you to picture a Ferrari, right? I always said my ex, we had a Ferrari, a 360 Modena. It was yellow. The car got him laid a lot, but not by me. One reason why we're not together. And so imagine that your body is a Ferrari. And when you have a Ferrari, like, you're supposed to only put the high octane, really good fuel in it, right? Because the Ferrari runs hard and fast. And and you're not supposed to drive it that often either, right? That's another reason why we work in sprints. but you would never put just regular unleaded gas in a Ferrari. You wouldn't. You can, but you wouldn't. Because you know if you did, that the Ferrari would run, it'd start to like sputter. It would run a little bit. The motor would run harder, so it'd start to knock. You'd probably need to get the timing belts changed more often. You know, you change the oil in a Ferrari like only every 10,000 miles. And when you change the oil, you change the timing belts and you kind of get it a whole once over, but it's not as often. And it is extremely expensive, but it's not as needed because you're keeping really clean, high octane fuel in it. But when it runs, man, it runs good. And so I want you to picture your body as a Ferrari. And we've gotten to the point to where we just put shit in our body and it's become the norm instead of putting whole food in your body, whole foods, right? And yes, our bodies will run like the Ferrari with unleaded gas. It will run, but it's going to run really rough and it's going to sputter and it's going to have issues. And it might break down every once in a while and you'll probably go to the doctor and get some pills to fix that, but it's going to mess something else up. But my question is, and I want you to just like, why do we keep putting unleaded cheap gas in our bodies when we know that eventually it will break down? You could say it's easier. It's cheaper. A lot of people is like, but Libby, it tastes good. What? Duh. You know, everyone's like, but I couldn't. So I'm more than 5 years, I think now. You know, not 5 years carnivore. I think I'm on my third year and you're on your second. And again, I'm a dirty carnivore because I still drink wine and coffee. So I am not perfect. So, but you know, people are like, but Libby, I love bread. But Libby, I love pasta. Oh, but I like chips. No shit, Sherlock. So do I. But it's unleaded gas. You're putting in a Ferrari. Your body is a Ferrari. And the one thing that I could tell you to get faster to where you need to go in business and in life is you have to run. You have to run at full capacity, right? And efficiency, as fast and as hard as you can. You have to. We live one life. And if you have these big goals, you're not going to get there putting unleaded gas in your body. The cheap, nope. You're not. It's just going to be, it's, and then you're just going to get mad at yourself. Like, why can't you get there? But Susie can. Well, compare apples to apples. Like, your chapter is different than someone else's chapter in life. Like, you don't know where they are in that book. But at the same time, to me, your health has 1,000% to do with what you reach in your business, the goals you achieve in your business.
Yeah.
1,000%. You don't want to hear it. Believe me, I love bread too. But I want to get to where I'm going and I want to get to where I'm going fast,
yeah,
efficiently. Right. And I want to have time for myself because the faster I get there, because we work in sprints. So 2 week sprints, we go hard for 2 weeks, stop, go hard for 2 weeks, stop. And why do we stop? So we can live life. We can go on vacation next weekend. We're going to the Bahamas, but guess what? This weekend, we're going to work our butt off. And I want to get to where I'm going fast so I can get there and have a great time on the way while I'm there. But I'm not going to have a great time. And I remember this like it was yesterday, like the day I got tired of being tired. I was sitting in my car, my work car, because it was wrapped with Organize It. And I think I was either visiting a technician in the field or I was organizing a house still. And I remember eating fast food in my car. I think I wasn't pumping anymore because I used to literally go to the car and pump in between jobs.
Milk for
breast pump. Yeah. Or Chris would bring me Yaya in between, like to houses so I could come to the car and breastfeed her. And it wasn't at that time because she was two and I only did that till she was 14 months old.
Right.
But I remember sitting in the car, eating fast food, just like being done with myself, like just being so almost disgusted with the way I felt.
Yeah.
That I was done. And I said, I'm tired of being tired. I couldn't show up. I couldn't get out of bed. I was tired. I didn't want to exercise anymore. I didn't want to do anything because I was just exhausted mentally and burnt out from the business as well. And now I can say when you, like for me, focusing on my health, we just brought on, like we now have, is it 38 or 39 remote people working in the Libby Delucian ecosystem?
Right.
So that would be like Woot Recruit, One Layer Deep, and Leia. And the VS program. We have 38 or 39, I can't remember, remote team members that we're managing, right? 39 of us.
Yep.
You would think my life would have gotten harder. No, it's super easy. It's a piece of cake. The same thing with Organize It. You would think as we grow, it got harder. No, it's because I was making it hard. It didn't get harder. It's actually when you realize you're just overcomplicating, making things harder, or your health is influencing your business, It becomes much easier once you realize those things. This is a great conversation.
It's great.
Yeah. I get very passionate about the health part because I literally like felt it and seen it happen over. And I lost 75 pounds, guys. I mean, bonus. Business grew, marriage got better, amazing sex life, hormones balanced, and I lost 75 pounds. So I can't complain about anything whatsoever.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you guys have questions around, like I 100%, there's no questions off the table for me and Chris, because for us, our life impacted our business and our business impacts our life. So they go both ways. So you're always welcome to drop a question. We're always live every Tuesday, 12 noon for business Q&As. And then we try to do our morning dates. We're going to try to get back into that every Saturday to answer more personal Q&As about like, how did we transform our life? How did that affect our business or our kids or our marriage? All right, guys. Anything else, Chris?
That's it.
All right.
Bye.
Running a business can feel overwhelming, right? Every question comes to you. Every decision depends on you. And if you step away, everything slows down or even worse, comes to a screeching halt. That's exactly why it created One Layer Deep. After building a seven-figure home service company across multiple locations, I developed a proven method that helps business owners build systems, create operational infrastructure, and grows a business that does not depend on you. If you're ready to stop being the bottleneck and start building a business that can scale, visit onelayerdeep.com.